Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
All right, so Mike Evans posed a great question. If the plan all along was to go out and get Joe Flacco and have him work with offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak, which would be kind of reunited from 2014 where Joe Flacco had his best NFL season, why is Gary Kubiak coaching in Minnesota? Why is Kubes in Minnesota? Why is he not here? If that was the plan all along, and don't give me a bunch of garbage about, oh, well, Gary Kubiak wasn't going to run enough RPOs, so we decided to go in a different direction. No. It was that Gary Kubiak wanted to coach with his friends. He wanted to bring the band back together. And you know what? Can you really blame the guy? I mean, think about it, Mike. If you're going to sit there and do 16 hours of work a day as the offensive coordinator, do you want to do it with guys you don't know, or do you want to do it with your buddies? And Gary Kubiak obviously wanted to coach with his buddies. And for all of you that were saying, oh, it's an antiquated system and the Broncos decided to move on so they get more RPOs, well, you're dumb. Because that has nothing to do with it. Gary Kubiak was out of work for about 4 hours before he signed with the Minnesota Vikings. And guess what? Oh, brought his buddies with him. They're all coaching in Minnesota right now. And let's be honest. Where do you think you have a better chance to compete for a playoff berth right now? Here in Denver? With Joe Flacco? And a former quarterback coach? Who, you know, by all intents and purposes has done a great job of putting himself in this position to be an up and coming coach. That's great. That is awesome. Happy for him. It's great stuff. But honestly, if you're a gambling man and you had to put money down, an amount of money that mattered to you, the Broncos or the Vikings to make the playoffs, where would you put that money? You put it on the Vikings. There's no question about it. So why is Gary Kubiak not here? Why did this plan that you put together in the offseason that you agreed to, why did it blow apart? Why? Seriously. Why would you not want the offensive coordinator that directed an offense in Baltimore with a quarterback in Joe Flacco where he had his best year? Why would you not want that again? Why would you not want to recreate that? And obviously it comes down to you didn't want to pay those coaches and you didn't want to have those coaches on your staff any longer. You wanted Gary, but you didn't want Gary's buddies. And, you know, that to me is just another mistake and a long line of mistakes made. We'll see how it turns out. You know, but there is a lot of work to be done, and there are a lot of people that look at this move throughout NFL circles that are just kind of scratching their heads over Joe Flacco to the Broncos. We'll see exactly how it pans out, but I, for one, would have loved to see Gary back here in Denver orchestrating this offense, and this offense.
You got to tie it all together here.
Yeah, damn it.
Sometimes you get going, you get kind of lost in a fog, and you forget that you got to wrap it up.
I know. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to get Gary.
Let's get the effort in music here.
Thank you. So now I got to get to Gary being in Minnesota, not being here. I wish he was here.
Getting his.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I see how you do it. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's just get I like that part. Okay. So Gary is not here. He should be here. I think it was a mistake. I, for one, would have loved to see Gary coaching here as the offensive coordinator and being in Denver getting his cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Just flawless.
Smooth, like butter.
Well, here's a follow-up then.
Yeah.
An immediate follow-up. It's almost like a question mark with clear the air. Stinky.
Mm.
Anytime they start with stinky or stinker.
Yeah.
You know it's not going to be good.
No.
Stinky, would you be so crabby about the Broncos trading for Flacco if your boy Kubiak was still here? I bet you wouldn't be.
I'm not. Where have I been crabby?
Well, you've downplayed the impact that you believe Flacco will be able to make with the current state of the Broncos offense. Fair to say?
Fair.
Okay.
That wouldn't change at all with Gary Kubiak. They would still need to address the issues that they have. I mean, those issues are not going away, Mike. Whether Gary's here, I mean, come on, Gary orchestrated an offense that won a Super Bowl that was a very below average offense. And went 9-7 with Trevor Siemian with a very below average offense.
Getting cleats on the grass.
I mean, they still, from a personnel standpoint, they have to be better. Whether it's Scangarello or whether it's Gary Kubiak, they have got to have better personnel. And I really hope, like, you can't have enough good offensive linemen, Mike. Like, Trent Brown is a huge man, played pretty well in New England, is only 26 years old. He's a free agent. New England drafted a guy in the first round that tore his Achilles or whatever, and out of Georgia, that's going to come back. They're going to give him that job. So, like, I would look at that. I would hope that you wouldn't say, well, we've already got our left tackle. I would hope you wouldn't go down the Paxton Lynch road again and say, hey, let's not address it because we've got a guy, and now that we have a coach in Mike Munchak, that position will be fine. You can't have enough good offensive linemen. So what if you have two left? If Bowles turns out to be really good, who cares if you have two really good left tackles? Like, that to me wouldn't bother me. I think that would be a good problem to have. We'll figure it out. So, you can't go down that road again, but I wouldn't, I mean, whether it's Gary Kubiak or whether it's anybody else coaching this offense or being the offensive coordinator for this team, it doesn't change my opinion of what needs to happen. Where I get cranky is where people are saying, oh, thank goodness we got Rich Scangarello, who learned the offense from Kyle Shanahan, who was, Gary Kubiak's offensive coordinator in Houston. I mean, it's the same. You're running the same stuff. It's the same verbiage. It's the same plays. Now, it's the way you call them, the way you stack concepts together, the way you attack people, the way you manipulate coverage. That's where the coordinating is good. Like, that's what it boils down to. The guys who really understand calling plays and how to set themselves up. That's what's important. And, I don't know, Scangarello, he didn't call the plays. Has he ever called plays?
No,
he hasn't. No. So, where I get cranky is when I hear guy who doesn't know anything about football say, well, Gary Kubiak's offensive is antiquated, but now that we have Scangarello, now we're going to be up to NFL speed. That to me is ridiculous. That to me is a lack of understanding of what goes on in the NFL.
Here's where I think it's, and for people who are saying it's done, it's over, move on. Well, this was the plan. Look, it was the worst kept secret in town back when we started hearing the talk around December that Gary Kubiak was going to be heavily involved. John himself came out and said, Gary Kubiak will have a role with this team next year. Man, go find the cut, Millennial Ben. You can find it. It's there.
Right.
And the idea was, again, worst kept secret in town, was that they were going to go after Flacco. Mm-hmm. And they were going to reunite Kubiak and Flacco, because they work so well together in Baltimore. Why do you think that the moment that the Ravens lost their playoff game to the Chargers, in which Lamar Jackson was awful, John Harbaugh made a point to come out and talk about how Joe Flacco is still a good quarterback in this league? He was trying to right away drum up the trade market value for Flacco because he knew the Broncos were going to be coming calling. So if that was the plan all the way back in December, you can understand why people like us are asking, well, if this was the plan and you have followed through on part of the plan by indeed going and getting Flacco, then why couldn't you have made it work with Kubiak? It's a fair question to ask. It really is, folks. And you can't just dismiss it and say, well, move on, because what you've done is you've deviated from a plan that has a history, a plan that did work. and you're instead halfway into it now, instead going with a disciple, loosely, you know, air quotes, disciple of Gary, who's never called plays. I think it's fair to ask, if that was your plan going back to December, then follow through with your plan. And don't deviate from this plan that you've carefully put in place just because Rick Dennison is going to be involved and Brian Perriani is going to be involved. That's enough to wreck your plan that's been months in the making? I think it's fair to ask. Absolutely.
I think it's, and I think it's also fair, you know, the texts you're getting right now or the tweets that I'm getting, yeah, but we think that Mike Munchak is a significant upgrade, and so we're probably better off for it. Maybe. That may be the case. I hope it's the case. But again, you're counting on a guy who's never actually called plays to coordinate because, you know, to coordinate an offense, who's a quarterback's coach, it's never called the plays to coordinate an offense because what? Because Kyle Shanahan can see the game and he can, you know, and he can call it well. I've seen plenty of guys who come in there and get the opportunity to call plays who aren't very good at calling plays.
Coming up, why all of a sudden is Mr. Khaki Pants quarterback interested in going after a first-round quarterback? I'll tell you why next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
So, some people seem to be a little bit confused, Mark.
Do they now?
What has happened to me?
Me? Have you flip-flopped?
No. And no beep, 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 by the way, backing up. See, here's the thing. So I'm a big khaki pants guy.
Yes.
Why am I a khaki pants guy? Because I think that there has been such a pathetic, panicky herd mentality out there among NFL teams to reach and overdraft quarterbacks in the first round.
Sure.
Does not mean that I don't think that there are some quarterbacks that should go in the first round that check the boxes for me. Over the last couple of years, I haven't seen any.
Mm-hmm.
But that changed when I took a closer look at Jake Fromm from Georgia.
Okay.
Checks all my boxes. He's got requisite NFL size. He plays from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the stats. He's a winner. He's a leader. And he plays at the highest competition level you can possibly get in college football.
Right. SEC football.
So for me, he checks all those boxes.
Correct. And he's going to have started, you know, it was the old Bill Parcells kind of Bill Polian. You need to start for 3 years. You need to have at least, you know, whatever it is, 40 games started. Or I can't remember exactly what the criteria mm-hmm. was, but it's something of that nature, you know, 60-whatever percent mm-hmm. completion percentage and all that kind of stuff. So go ahead.
So, when a guy comes along that checks all those boxes, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not available until next
right.
year's draft.
Right, but I'm saying this is the kind of guy I would love to go
sure.
after and get. So people are all of a sudden like saying, well, you've flipped your philosophy when it comes to, no, I haven't. It is as rock solid as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the difference. Unlike people whose idea of drafting quarterbacks comes down to whoever WalterFootball.com says is a projected first round pick you draft.
Right.
I actually just give you one name, one person. I zero in on that person. And hey, if that person ends up getting taken in the first round as a bust, I got to own it. Easier to avoid being pinned down when you just say, well, draft that guy. But what if he doesn't work out? Well, then draft that guy.
Right.
You know, just so you can cover yourself by saying, well, I said pick that guy. Yes, you said pick 20 guys over the last couple of years. Anybody who's projected to be a first round pick, you got to take. I'm giving you a specific guy, but he's got to check those boxes. And there have been very few quarterbacks that have come. Now, Andrew Luck, I recognized Andrew Luck back then, I was like, please, suck for luck. Please keep Kyle Orton as your quarterback. Please keep losing games. And I was hopeful that when they did go to Tim Tebow, that they would continue to lose games. And then, I don't know, we entered some sort of parallel universe and weird things started happening.
Next thing you know, you got a tattoo.
I got a tattoo and Marion Barber's running out of bounds and Matt Prater.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Kicking 69-yard field goals and all these wacky things are happening.
Right.
John Elway's upstairs the whole time, just literally chewing on glass as he's watching this unfold. Because there goes his chance to get Andrew Luck. Thankfully, Peyton Manning entered the picture. But, yeah, I will definitely go after a guy like Andrew Luck, and I like Fromm. But that's it. I like Fromm. That's it for these reasons. They check the boxes. These other guys? No way.
I've always said, if you fall in love with a guy and you think a guy fits, like, all your criteria, and especially the intangible stuff, like when you meet with guys, like how many people have I met with over the last couple of years that took a guy like Paxton Lynch off their draft board after spending time with him? And yet you draft him in the first round. Don't think I didn't have those same conversations with people about Garrett Bowles. Because I have. People that are in the league wouldn't have drafted him. So, I think there's probably more homework, Mike, involved in figuring out what makes a dude tick, like what kind of pro that guy's going to be, than there is the film study part's the easy part. It's easy to put on film and see if a guy pops, to see if a guy just jumps off the screen. That's easy. The other stuff, I think, is the hard stuff. The stopwatch stuff doesn't take any effort. How much effort does it take to watch somebody run a 40? Say, wow, he really, you know, checks the 40 box. Wow, he really checks the vertical jump box. Wow, ball jumps out of his hand as a quarterback. Like, isn't that the easy stuff? Where the Broncos had missed in past drafts, last year notwithstanding, is the intangible stuff. Like, if you want to criticize John Elway and his staff, they didn't do their homework on the intangible stuff. They had a bunch of stopwatch drafts. Let's just pick athletes. And, you know, personalities be damned. And that's where they lost their way. Man, the other stuff, I'm just telling you, the other stuff, and there's no, how do you pick it and put your finger on it and all that stuff. Like, there's no formula for that. You gotta do the work and then you gotta come to some kind of consensus that this guy is either a professional or he's not. And, you know, and I don't care how good his skill set is. If you decide that he's not a professional, man, you got to dump him. You got to get away from him. Because as you mentioned, and you're going to waste 4 years waiting for a guy to all of a sudden who's never going to develop. You're waiting 4 years for him to develop. And meanwhile, you're bypassing on guys who are already developed and can play. That's the issue.
Hey, look, if there's a guy in the first round that I like, I'll tell you why I like him. And it won't just simply be, well, you just got to draft him because so-called experts at a website think he's projected to go in the first round. Okay? You got to give me a little bit more than just, well, he's supposed to go in the first round, so I got to take him in the first round. Tell me. Give me reasons why. Tell me what boxes he checks is for you and make your case. Instead of just saying, well, I don't know, he's supposed to go in the, well, these five guys are supposed to go in the first round, take one of them. Tell me why. I need a little bit more substance from you, what I need.
And it needs to be more than he's tall.
Right.
Or he's accurate.
There is a story that came out this morning that I am stunned, has literally been going on for several years and nobody's been talking about it. Until now. We'll tell you what it is in Four Down Territory next.
Is Four Down Territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the
out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Quick snap. Mullins going to play action. Boot to his right, looking for Usyk. Got a wide open man. It's Pierre Garçon. Touchdown, 49ers.
First real touchdown in real football for Nick Mullins.
49ers radio right there. Pierre Garçon, who only had 24 catches for 286 yards and a touchdown in half a season this year, is going to be a free agent, cut loose by the 49ers. Is this just a no-brainer acquisition, cheap free agent acquisition by the Broncos that makes sense? You're bringing in a mentor-type wide receiver who is very familiar with the Kyle Shanahan, Rich Scangarello offense. Bring him here to help implement all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. And Garçon is, you know, the consummate professional. He was a great mentor. Dante Pettis, who ended up replacing him, talked about how great he was to work with and how much he helped in his development. So I think that becomes somewhat of a no-brainer. Now, obviously, he's got to, you know, he's got to pass all the physicals and all that kind of stuff. But the guy is still a gifted player. And he's, like I said, consummate professional. And the fact that he's been in that offense and he knows the language, he can help the young receivers, I think that makes sense to me. And plus, are you really going to pay, what is Emmanuel Sanders making next year, like 11, 12 million bucks?
Yes.
Are you really going to pay Emmanuel Sanders $12 million to be a receiver here coming off an Achilles? I just... Unless he's willing to renegotiate that deal and play for a lot less money, I just don't know that that's going to happen.
By the way, our NFL insider Adam Schefter just tweeted out a minute ago that the Broncos have notified Brandon Marshall they are most likely not going to exercise his option. He will be a free agent starting on March 13th. One more linebacker to the free agent mix. Not exactly a earth-shattering news. Pretty much speculated that they were going to move on from Brandon Marshall, but this makes it official. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on Brandon Marshall's run here?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Marshall played really well for the Denver Broncos. He's a great guy, a really good player. Obviously, last year, injury-riddled season, missed a lot of time. I mean, I understand where they're going. That makes sense, and I think it's a position where they feel like maybe they can upgrade. It's a position where it's not like a sought-after, nowadays, middle linebacker. You know, they're playing with so much nickel, so much dime. They're using DBs there. I just don't think it's a position anymore that commands a ton of salary. And there's some other good ones out there on the market right now that I think, you know, you may see the Broncos go after.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Yeah, I've said it a bunch of times. He should have a job. I mean, listen, I think, you know, it's pretty healthy in the United States of America when everybody wants freedom of speech to, you know, hope that a guy like Colin, who definitely has the skills to be a quarterback in the league, no matter how you slice it, should have a job.
That's Chris Long of the Eagles reporting regarding Colin Kaepernick, who still is unemployed with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But he did have an offer from the AAF, the Alliance of American Football,
right,
to which Kaepernick countered and said, sure, I'll play in your startup league for $20 million.
Right.
Now, I don't know, considering that this is a league that is dying for eyeballs and dying for attention and dying for any sort of reason for people to tune in, is Colin Kaepernick such a lightning rod figure these days that people would tune in to watch him play, either to root for him or to hope that he got his head knocked off?
Right.
And therefore, Kaepernick is justified in asking for $20
million. It's not the structure of the league right now. According to Bill Polian, I think everybody gets the same 3-year non-guaranteed deal. All right? So that's the way the league is structured right now. I'm not sure that Colin Kaepernick wants to play. I think he's probably, and I don't know this, he doesn't say anything. He never comes out and says anything. And I know teams don't want, like, they don't want their backup quarterback to be in a press conference every week. It's like the Tim Tebow syndrome. Like, you can sit there and say whatever you want about Tim Tebow, but there's just a lot of teams that said, I don't want to deal with that. Like the cameras on our Tim Tebow when he's running shirtless in the rain as a pump protector, you know, and all.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
I mean, they honestly don't want to deal with that. So does he have the skill set to play quarterback in the NFL? Certainly. the skill set to be a backup or maybe compete for a starting job? Certainly. But nobody's going to pay him, you know, $20 million a year to come in there and compete for a backup role or a you know, I just, there's a lot of layers to this story. Do I believe that he is being blackballed? Absolutely. But there's several different layers to the whole story. And I think he makes more, and he does more, and has his voice out there more by being a martyr than he does by being a player.
Tim Tebow, by the way, was also approached about the AAF.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it down. Apparently, his lifelong dream has shifted from being an NFL quarterback to playing Major League Baseball. But,
well, I mean,
for all the Tebowites out there and all the Tebow supporters who feel that he got a raw deal, that there wasn't some team out there courageous enough to build an offense entirely around him, why didn't he ever humble himself and go play in the CFL, go play in a league like this?
Or change positions.
Or change positions, but just to show, hey, listen, I will do whatever it takes to fulfill this dream.
Mm-hmm. Because the dream changed. I mean, you have multiple dreams. You're in a locker room.
I don't know how many lifelong dreams I've had. I think I kind of had one lifelong dream, and then when that was crushed.
What was that lifelong dream you wanted to be?
Oh, lifelong. I wanted to be the point guard of the Boston Celtics is what I wanted to be.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
You wanted to play with Bird?
Yes. Early on. Then by about my junior year of high school, I went, nope, that's not going to happen. Gonna have to figure something else out. Guess I'm going to have to make former jocks sound good.
What?
Mission accomplished!
So you just get to the point where you're like, I can't shoot.
I could always shoot, but, you know, I'm 5'11" on my best day. And wispy and chubby and husky pants. And there aren't many guys in the NBA playing point guard with husky shorts.
Could you touch the rim?
No. No, no. Of course not.
Yeah.
Next!
You made a wise decision.
In four down territory.
Third down.
People are focusing on football. They're focusing on the great play and the great play of quarterbacks. And I think fans want to see the quarterbacks play, but we all want to protect our players. And the safety of the game is better. The quality of the game is better. And I think that's all you're seeing those indications.
That's Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner. Makes about $1 gazillion a year. I find this story stunning. Considering our obsession with the NFL and how the NFL is covered, that NBA commissioner Adam Silver has been repeatedly approached by NFL owners over the course of his 5 years as NBA commissioner, courted to come over and become the NFL commissioner and just kick Goodell to the curb.
Isn't that crazy?
And he's been going on for 5 years and it never came out?
He's got so much juice and so much clout with the players. I just don't think Adam Silver would fit in the NFL because Adam Silver he wants to be collective. I mean, he wants this togetherness. He wants to build the organization, you know, both the players association, ownership. He's trying to make them kind of one entity. Where Goodell is the guy, as you always say, takes the slings and arrows. I mean, I don't think Adam Silver wants to be that guy. He doesn't care about being right as much as he cares about doing what he thinks is right. And to be the NFL commissioner, you have to care more about what the owners want, not so much what the players want. There is no connectivity or collective kind of nature to these two entities.
Great point. I get the sense Adam Silver truly cares about and what his players think.
Uh-huh.
And Goodell doesn't care.
No.
That's great.
He knows the players drive the league and drive the revenue, whereas the teams, the laundry drives revenue in the NFL.
Third long, we're going to punt.
The King is here.
Thank you. So that'll do it for four down territory. Although it was technically four stories. The Brandon Marshall story got thrown in there. So, but wasn't your classic
four-ish down territory.
It was four-ish down, three-plus down territory this year. This time around. Troy Rake, our Denver 7 Bronco, and also Rocky Insider. Interesting comments made by Nolan Arenado yesterday that I want to bounce off. Troy, we'll do that next. All right, let's turn to our Denver 7 Bronco and all-around insider, Troy Rank. He joins us now. Good morning, Troy. And I understand you've just been texting and communicating with Brandon Marshall, who has been notified that the Broncos are going to cut him loose?
Yeah, I'm actually just got a text with him in a second. Yeah, he told me that they will not exercise his option. He'll become a free agent on March 13th. I told him that, I mean, he saw this coming. This is not a surprise. The only issue was going to be the timing of it. And, you know, in one way, it's better when you're a free agent, the sooner you know, the better. Mark knows this. The later you find out, it limits your options. And I told him he's going to bounce back and he's going to land on his feet. And he just texted back and said, you know, I will. And, you know, again, we saw this coming. He had lost his job in some ways to Josie Jewell, but there's not an athlete that on a personal level that I've admired more than Brandon Marshall, just the way he handles his business from everything he's been through the last few years and the person he was in the community. And I know that doesn't always mean stuff to fans. I get that. Just saying from my personal interaction with him, I don't know that I've ever admired an athlete, how he's gone about his business and the way he's, you know, the conviction in which he operates his daily life. And especially, again, the stuff he's done off the field in the community. So he'll be missed, but in an ironic way of the NFL, this is probably the best thing for him that it happens now because it gives him a better chance to sign elsewhere.
Yeah, great guy, really good player, really good Bronco, like you said, community-wise and everything else. So I guess I would ask you, what's the domino effect of them not signing Brandon Marshall? Is C.J. Mosley in play? Is he on their radar to be, you know, the starting middle linebacker of the Denver Broncos? C.J. Mosley, obviously, great player out of Baltimore.
Yeah, I said that last Sunday on Denver 7 when Lionel Bambino and I were talking about Broncos' kind of next moves, that one position to keep an eye on in free agency is C.J. Mosley, linebacker for the Ravens. You know, Fangio's looking for that type of player. They could also try to, you know, at number 10, you go with a Devin Smith from LSU, but we knew when Fangio was hired, they're looking for guys that, you know, that fit his defense. And a player more of a three-down linebacker, per se, is something that would help anchor that. Those aren't easy to find. But in C.J. Mosley, he's one of the best, and they do have money to spend. I mean, and I do expect them to be active in free agency, so I absolutely expect them to be in play for him. Now, whether they get him and all that, a lot of dots to still connect here, but certainly he's a name you got to keep an eye on.
What about Pierre Garçon? Cut loose by the 49ers. Does that make sense? Too much sense?
Yeah. Well, it does. You got to know his health and know where he's at because he's dealt with some injuries. He's dealt with some stuff, but they need depth at that position and they need experience depth at that position because we all like Cortland Sutton, but he struggled when he was made the one, not surprisingly, but he struggled. Since Deshaun Hamilton's got a bright future. But you saw immediately when Emmanuel Sanders went down how vulnerable they were offensively. Now, maybe Flacco helps make them better in that regard, that he's, you know, better than Keenum. But Emmanuel Sanders with Garçon makes more sense than just Emmanuel Sanders because you can take away one guy in this league. No matter who they are, really, you can take them away. So I do expect him to get a veteran receiver, you know, price willing. We'll see because they don't want to stunt the growth necessarily of their young guys, but getting a veteran would make their young guys better. It accelerates their development because they takes a little pressure off, gets the better coverage for them. So Garçon makes sense. But, again, that's one you got to just keep an eye on because you can draft guys. There's a lot of options at receiver where you don't really want to get into a bidding war, per se, for a guy. Like, what is his long-term play here? What is that? So, but Garçon definitely, Mike, makes sense.
You know, I've been on record here on The Fan talking about Joe Flacco, and I like Joe Flacco, and I think he's, you know, I think he's somewhat of an upgrade over Case Keenum, and I think that's great, but I think there's a lot of work to do for this offense to be significantly better, and I don't think necessarily as currently constructed that Joe Flacco does a whole lot for me as far as making this offense better. I think it really comes down to the trenches, the line of scrimmage. What direction do they attack a couple of guys in free agency? Do they go after a Trent Brown? Do they re-sign a Matt Paradis? What is the plans to bolster that group up front? Because Lord knows they need to be a lot better.
Well, number one plan was getting Coach Mike Munchak. So in theory, that should help. Everywhere he's been, they've been better, and specifically in pass protection. But you're right, Mark, to get Flacco and not fix the line, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, that's, you get the house and your front door's, you don't have a front door and the driveway's wrong. You know what I mean? So to get Flacco and you like that piece, if you're the Broncos, you got to surround him. I mean, he's not a mobile quarterback. He's not going to run around and save the line from sacks. Now maybe he'll get the ball out a little quicker sometimes, but still, to your point, they've got to make Bowles functional and better in pass pro. He's a decent run blocker. He's got to improve. And if he can't do it under Munchak, you got to wonder what his long-term future is as a starter, either here or in the league. But Matt Paradis is priority one, and it feels, you know, in talking to sources, there's still a chance they'll let him test free agency. They'd like Matt back. He's a captain. Guys respect him as much as anyone. But if he's in line for Ryan Jensen money, top dollar, I don't know that they go to that point with him. They might let him walk. And so then you have an issue at center. Do you trust McGovern or do you have to get a guy? And at right tackle, where they finally found a functional player in Jared Valdir, he's a free agent. I would try to keep him. Even if you bring in another guy to compete with him, Valdir at least made that spot functional. So, but to your point, Mark, they've got to figure out the line. I think they figured out they had better athletes in their own building that maybe they thought, like Wilkinson, I like better, you know, a guard at times, you know, as maybe a backup. Billy Turner's a versatile guy, but they're going to need at least one lineman in free agency. And if Paradis leaves, you might need two.
Visit with Troy Ryan. Troy, I got to ask you, you were sitting in yesterday on the drive with D-Mac, who was just ranting and raving about why the Broncos didn't take a quarterback last year. As this was all going on, were you just kind of sitting back and was the song Let It Go from Frozen playing in your head? Let it go.
Man,
let it go.
He's got a thing for you, man. Beep, beep, right? He's all over you.
Well, here's the difference, okay? Unlike him, who just says anybody that WalterFootball.com has projected as a first-round pick you draft, I actually name my guy, and I base it on why I think he's that guy, not just fill in the blank. But you know, that's all right. Go ahead.
Well, here's where the quarterback situation ended with D-Mac and I yesterday. Was, yes, he took his customary body jabs at you, but the idea that Joe Flacco, they believe in, and maybe it gets him back to the playoffs, that, you know, John Elway's probably on a three-year window here, so if every move's still about winning, then the Flacco move in that regard, in that context, makes sense. And then under D-Mac's strategy, then they would go to the playoffs and then go 1-15 the following year and get Trevor Lawrence. So that's his plan now, is, you know, he did like tank for Tua. He liked bomb for Fromm. He likes suck for the Duck. But his eyes are now squarely, as we sit here today, on getting Trevor Lawrence after bottoming out, following a playoff berth, bottoming out 2 years from now.
I just think it's funny. You want to go to the playoffs 1 year and then go 1-15 the next year. Like, all of a sudden, what are you going to tell your guys? Hey, guys, we're not really going to play this year. That's ridiculous. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, real quick, I want to get your thoughts on this. Nolan Arenado was asked about it yesterday down at Rockies camp, about his impending free agency, his future with the Rockies. He said something that I found interesting. Here's what he had to say. I want to get your reaction to it.
I'm not going to sit here and say there is a deadline. I think as a collective group between me, my agent, and the Rockies, I think we're going to have like a quiet deadline. There's a time and place for focus on ball. And they have a job to do, too. I don't think they got, you know, they're trying to help us win games also. So I think they're more worried about helping us win games than try to get this contract thing done at a certain time. You know, like I said, there's when games start, serious games start, I think there'll probably be a silent deadline. I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, you know, open to anything. Like I said, it's been fine. There's no hard feelings. We could talk whenever.
Deadlines, silent deadlines. How do you interpret all this?
that they're still talking and that there's no acrimony. Because if there were acrimony, Nolan isn't one that hides his emotions in that regard. You know, he's not a, you know, listen, he's not a political guy in there in the talks. And, but if he felt there was acrimony and he was getting that from his agent, Joel Wolf, you would have seen that because he sat down and talked for a long time yesterday. At some point, there would have been this, well, who knows? Doesn't seem like they want, you know, and so all his public conversations and those privately that I'm going to talk to people, there's at least momentum, at least a chance for a long-term deal. They're not so far apart. It's not to where they're not talking. You're not hearing the, oh, we got no chance. The first offer left us with no desire to even negotiate. So all those are good, Mike. Can they get a deal done? The problem right now, guys, and the why I think why he said it, he didn't say this specifically, but why I believe he did and said this could go into the season, until he sees what the number is for Manny Machado, he's not signing anything. Now, again, if the Rockies said $300 million today, of course he would sign that. But, I mean, he's trying to figure out where the Machado contract's going to come in. And if it comes in much lower than we all expected, and people are going to hit a guardrail driving hearing this, but let's say Machado only gets $225 or $200 million, then all of a sudden, if he gets $200 and the Rockies go to Nolan with $225, then things could happen. I thought all along he'd be a $300 million player based on the Stanton contract. Well, the market has taken a huge shift these last 2 years, even for star players now in Harper and Machado. So wait and see the Machado deal. If it comes in at a reasonable number and lower than we expected, that would help the Rockies' chances of landing Arenado.
At what point, Machado, what is Machado's number where the Rockies are just like, hey, listen, you know what, have fun being a Yankee next year?
Well, that's a good question because I thought Machado would get right around 300. If he comes in at, let's say, 175 to the Phillies or White Sox, I think the Rockies can go 200. It's easy for me to say this isn't my money, but they could do that contract because they had to have known 2 years ago that's where that number was going to fall. They had to know it was going to start at least with a two. So if it stays in that 220 to 230 range, I think they got a shot. I know this. Dick Monfort has said even 2 weeks ago he thinks the talks are going well. He likes the momentum of it. No one is painting this with a pessimistic brush. So as of now, I like it. Now, again, if Machado comes in, Mark, at 305, now it gets greasy. I don't know if they go to a number like that.
All right, Troy. Great stuff. Thank you.
You got it. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Bronco Rocky all-around insider, brought to us by Trinity Law. If you or someone you know been charged with a DUI, call for a free consultation at 303-333-1816 or TRANILaw.com. What do you think the number is that Dick Monfort walks away from?
I'm going to say anything over 250. I think Troy's right. If you're in the 220-ish range, 230, I think the Rockies pull the trigger on that. I think you start getting in that 250 range, and I think you're not going to go there. That, which would mean you'd move him at the trade deadline, right? You can't let him hit a free agency.
What if trade deadline comes up and you're 2 games ahead of the Dodgers in first place in the NL West? You really going to do that? You're going to ripcord your season just like that?
Then you're going to have issues because you're not.
You're going to have people marching down on Coors Field with pitchforks and lands.
I don't know that anybody goes there. You know what? I don't know that anybody's going to go to Coors Field with a pitchfork or land.
Good point.
They're going to go there. They're going to be angry. But they're going to get one of them Denver dogs with my green chili on it, and then they're going to have a beer.
Nothing like a good Denver dog with a stinking good green chili and a nice cold craft beer.
Right.
And Rocky fan placated.
Yes, and then they're going to be like, hey, let's go up to that rooftop bar. And everything's going to be well after that. It'll all be good.
Well, you're paying him $26 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so are you able to go from 1 year at 26 to 10 years at 26? Meaning 250, 260, which takes him to age, what, 38? I mean, you did it with Helton. Gave him, a big
once,
contract.
Wasn't it like 175, something like 168, that? Something like that?
I don't think anybody was unhappy with that deal, how that worked out, right?
Mm-mm.